Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. I'm Average Joe. Today we're going to talk about homesteading. Last week we were talking about technology, and we got into a conversation with Gabe and Don, and we were talking about technology, and we were just talking about what technology has done for our society and our civilization. And then the point was brought up of what would happen if we lost that technology, and that got me to thinking about homesteading and, you know, basically self-sufficiency. And so that's what we're talking about today. So anyway, again, I'm Average Joe. I don't know much about anything, but I know a little bit about a lot of things, and homesteading is something that I'm not really a hardcore homesteader by any means. I do some things, such as gardening, and grew up, my mom and dad always had a garden and other things, and I guess gardening is probably one of the basic homesteading type activities that more people do that don't even go full-fledged, homesteading. They just like fresh vegetables, like most people. So it's always nice, especially, if you have the room or most people that live out in the country usually try to have a little bit of garden, even if it's only just a few tomato plants and some pepper plants and some squash. It doesn't take a whole lot of room. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But talking about homesteading, it is a lifestyle of self-sufficiency. It's characterized by subsistence agriculture, and I'm giving you kind of a pure definition here. Home preservation of food, and may also involve the small-scale production of textiles, clothing, and craftwork for household use or sale, pursued in different ways around the world and in different historical eras. Homesteading is generally differentiated from rural village or commune living by isolation, either physically or socially, of the homestead. Use of the term in the United States dates back to the Homestead Act, which was in 1862 and before. In sub-Saharan Africa, particularly, I have got a mouthful of marbles today, in nations formerly controlled by the British Empire, homestead is the household compound for a single extended family. In the UK, the term smallholder or cross is the rough equivalent of homesteader. So that's kind of the black and white of it. I always like to do, kind of get that as a baseline, and so we kind of know what we're talking about. There's homesteading, and then there's prepping. A lot of prepping is really popular and has been for the last, probably seems like it's gotten a lot more popular since 9/11. I could be wrong about that so far as the timeline goes, but there's a little difference in homesteading and prepping, and I think basically that would be just mainly intention. Homesteading is because of, a lifestyle that you want to live off the land, you want to be self-sufficient, you enjoy the lifestyle, you don't need, the higher technology things, even though a lot of that technology allows us to do more with homesteading. For example, power, we can use solar and wind turbines, which are a lot cheaper than they used to be for power. And so that's kind of the homesteading side of it. Prepping is more of a long-term under crisis situation. So you may or may not be living as a homesteader normally, but you have prepared, as in prepping, your living quarters and your living establishment, you know, the land you live on and everything, so that you can go full-on homesteading so far as, you know, that would include your food, but also long-term security and shelter. So guests call in 914-219-0884. I encourage you to call in and talk to me. You know, I've got a few little stories and experiences in homesteading. Again, I am not a hardcore homesteader by any means. I live in a regular house like most people and have regular electricity coming from the power company. And, I work a regular job and most of our food comes from the grocery store. So I do not speak from a lot of current experience, although I did grow up in a time, I'm 56 years old, so I grew up in the 60s and 70s and still was able to see the way my grandparents lived and the way my mom and dad lived, you know, when they were younger and when they were kids. And, you know, back basically in the country, you know, that was just a way of life. It really wasn't a choice. You lived off the land because that's what you did. I mean, that's what you had to do to survive. My mom, her family was pretty poor, and they, my mom to this day says, you know, she doesn't know how they even had something to eat, because there was many meals they would have, you know, some gravy made from flour and maybe some kind of meat renderings or something, and poured on a biscuit, and that was. They had a lot of meals like that. If she wanted, her grandmother, I think, had chickens for eggs, but they used the eggs to sell or to trade for other goods that they needed. So Mom and I think her cousin used to actually have to get up real early in the morning and sneak to get them an egg to eat for breakfast. You know, that was a special occasion. And we take those kind of things for granted now. I mean, you can go to the grocery store. I think you can go to Aldi and you can buy a dozen eggs for less than a dollar. So, I mean, an egg won't even cost you 10 cents. But back in the day, you know, especially growing up the way, I mean, my mom grew up in, and my dad grew up around the end of the Depression. So there was a lot of tough times during those days. And like I said, that's just the way the people lived. Now we kind of have a choice. In North America, most of the time the economy's been pretty well over my lifetime, and we've never had to grow food because we couldn't afford food. But call me, 914-219-0884, and let me back up a moment. I do have I think I mentioned before, I do have a email address now, which is averagejoe@carolina.rr.com. And I also have, and the Joe, by the way, has no E on the end. I also have a new Facebook page for Average Joe. And if you are on my personal friends list, you received an invite today to like my Average Joe Radio Facebook page. And that way you can, you'll see the updates and information. I'll be putting information on there more in detail about future shows and just little tidbits and things that we've talked about in the past and the future and all that. So I'm kind of excited about that. We'll have one more way to keep you in the know of what's going on with Average Joe Radio. And I really enjoyed it. This is, I think, number 22 episode. But anyway, give me a call, 914-219-0884. So, like I said, you know, homesteading versus prepping, most of the preppers are, you know, they're big on having underground quarters that's secure. So if there was ever, say, a nuclear holocaust, or if there was ever an EMP, that's one thing we were talking about last week. Any kind of technology or civilization breakdown, just a secure location to live and possibly be out of harm's way. And then also you know, weapons, you know, always there's weapons. You want to have weapons to protect what you do have. And because if you have it and other people need it, they'll try to take it from you. And that's kind of a prepper thing. So it's kind of a different philosophy, because you have to be able to do the homesteading thing, as in self-sufficiency, under duress, you know, under extreme conditions. So, you know, you might have in the most extreme situation, you may even have some kind of underground method of growing food, you know, like an underground greenhouse with grow lights and all that good stuff. And that's where the solar panels come in handy, and a good supply of propane and maybe some wind turbines. But all those things, so far as the technology goes, is good to have, even as just a normal homesteader, because that's just like the way you like to live. So as a homesteader, I know I'm kind of going back and forth between that and prepping, but just wanted to differentiate that. 914-219-0884 if you want to call in and give me some of your experience or ideas about homesteading. But basically, the first thing, like I said, gardening. Almost anybody can grow something. Even if you live in the city, you can have some boxes, you know, out on your apartment patio or balcony. And if you have a yard, you can have like a raised bed garden. And that's really, that's all we have, is a raised bed garden that my mom basically takes care of. up until, well, really the year that my dad passed away, him and her, they had a garden that was probably almost a quarter acre. I mean, I may be exaggerating a little bit there, but it's a pretty good sized garden, and they always grew, you know, okra was a big thing for them, tomatoes, bell pepper, hot pepper, you know, cayenne pepper usually, cucumbers, yellow squash, maybe some watermelon, some corn, some green beans, some lima peas, all that good stuff. And just about anybody can do that. I mean, gardening is not rocket science. I mean, definitely a lot of people are better at it than others. But, you know, pretty much if you got some dirt, some organic matter, and you got some seeds and some water and some sunshine and some oxygen, that'll about do it. It's just, you know, finding the right combination of all those elements. So gardening, and a good way to help keep your garden in check, and it helps recycle things, is composting. Most people have, you know, potato peelings or all kind of peelings and leftovers from vegetables that you can use to compost. And I'm going to have a little drink here. That's water. still working on that cold. But that, by building that compost, you're recycling material, and you're providing good food, good organic material for your garden. Another thing, like on our property, we have some scuppernong and muscadine vines. So we've got some fruit, but you could also have you know, fruit trees, pecan trees, and things like that. Walnut trees, pear trees, peaches grow good here in the South. Excuse me. I'm being very regional, because I know there's people that are listening outside of this region, but that's just, those are the kind of things that grow good here. You can grow peanuts here. I mean, that's in the garden. Usually, you have to have a pretty good amount of soil to do that, because they grow under the soil, kind of like potatoes. But and the thing about fruit trees is you don't have to keep replanting them. You just have to take care of them. So that's a good investment of your time, having some fruit trees. And most fruit trees don't take, you know, too long to get to the size where they start bearing fruit. Another thing, that's really interesting to me. And I've never done it. My dad's done it, and a couple of friends of mine have done it, and that's keeping bees. Bees are great for the environment. They take care of the pollination of all of our all the farmers' crops. We need bees. There's a bee shortage, as I understand it, because of all the insecticides being used in a lot of different applications. And so bees, keeping bees is a great hobby, but it also has a great reward because most people like honey. I love honey. And bees are, I've never done it personally, but, I mean, it takes some time, but I think I would really enjoy it. Call me if you have any experience in keeping bees or anything like what we're talking about, 914-219-0884. And if you want to just comment, you can sure send me an email at averagejoe@carolina.rr.com. You can also post, I just started my Facebook page today, so I think you can actually post comments on that too. I know you can comment on my posts, so feel free to do that. Another thing, the bees don't take a lot of room. That's one good thing about them too. If you have some room though, there's also other animals. Pigs, chickens. A lot of people in these days keep chickens for the eggs, and pigs, of course, for good meat. But we do have a caller here, so I'm going to take this call. Hello, caller. This is Average Joe.
Hello, Stan. How you doing, Average Joe?
JR, hadn't heard from you in a long time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I've been on the road here lately. I haven't been able to call in, but I like your topic tonight. I don't have any experience, but man, I watched my grandparents when I had the pleasure of being down there with them. They had large gardens, and you know, the same thing with them. If they didn't grow it, they didn't eat it, and that's just the way they were. And you didn't waste food or nothing. They had chickens too, but it's just amazing. I wish I could do that. I wish I had that skill. Deb and I have always talked about, you know, having a garden. We just haven't put that plan into motion yet.
Right. Well, I mean, I know where you live, and I know you've got a pretty good sized yard. I know in some areas in the city, I know you live in the city limits, there's limitations as to what you can do so far as animals or anything. Can you keep chickens and stuff like that in Albemarle, do you know?
I don't know. There's a house a couple blocks away from here that has them, but I'll be honest with you, I really don't know. I haven't looked into that.
Yeah. I've heard that sometimes you can have chickens, you just can't have roosters because of the noise. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but
yeah, I know our soil here is there's a lot of shale here, and you know, shale is very high in iron content. But we built a box one year for tomatoes and some peppers, and tomatoes did quite well. I was impressed, but I have tillers, and then. I'd like to till up a spot and see what we could do.
Well, you know, it's fun. I mean, I kind of grew up around it, but really, I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, if, like I said, if you got the main ingredients, if you got some seed and some air and some water and some sunshine and some organic matter, you know, just finding the right combination, and it's always fun to experiment. And there's tons of information, of course, on the internet. But even before the internet came along, there's books, there's Mother Earth News. I think they're still around. I used to like reading Mother Earth News. Have you ever heard of them? Or did you ever see those magazines?
No, I have not.
That was a real popular magazine. I know. Well, I'll say back in the 80s. I know it was. It was for. For people I hung out with. But
yeah.
I think they even have a web page now. Look it up sometime if you're if if you think about it. But
Mother Earth
yeah,
News?
Man. Mother
I'll
Earth News, yeah. Yeah.
I'll do that. I know traveling through Indiana, a lot of those farms, some of the universities up there, they section off some of the gardens and they try different types of soil and potting soil and different types of, I guess, proteins to help the garden grow and everything. And I always wondered how they turned out on, you know, and what they did with that information. I don't know if they packet it in seeds or something, or it's an additive or what, but it is something that Deb and I have always talked about. We would like to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll do that one of these days. I mean, you can start small. I mean, you know, start out with a few boxes and grow some tomatoes and a few simple things, and then just, you know, keep adding to it every year. And, you know, before you know it, you'll be an expert.
Exactly. Yeah, it won't take long. Well, Stan, Joe, I love your show. I do. And I'm glad I'm back, and I'm glad I caught it. And it's good seeing you guys today. And I'll get off here in case someone else wants to get on there. But keep up the great work, and looking forward to hearing you next week, buddy.
Well, thanks for calling in, JR. Now, I know to be fully transparent to the audience, I did see you today in person, but I meant, you know, hadn't heard from you in a long time on the show is what I meant. So, but we're glad you're back in town and glad you're listening.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
All right. Take care, JR.
Bye.
All right, so that was cool to hear from JR. We hadn't heard from him in a while. He's one of our regular callers. He lives in town, and, you know, just because you live in town doesn't mean you can't do some kind of homesteading. I mean, of course, the more room you have, the more opportunities you have, especially when you get into, you know, animals and things like that. The number, we've still got some time if anybody wants to call in. It's 914-219-0884. Love to hear from you if you got some input or some ideas on homesteading. I know I haven't gotten real specific about, you know, just it's such a wide subject so far as information goes. I mean, you could do a show, and I'm sure there are plenty of shows on Blog Talk Radio about homesteading and gardening and any variation of any of those things. There's probably a show on just beekeeping. I haven't looked, but it wouldn't surprise me. So, excuse me. So, animal husbandry, as it's called, you know, keeping cows and pigs and chickens and goats and guineas and ducks, just like guineas. I mean, so typically you don't eat guineas, I don't think. But a lot of people keep them because they're great for insect control, and the chickens do the same thing. So you know, if you have a garden and you've got chickens and guineas and things like that, they go around and eat all the bugs, and you don't have to worry about using a lot of insecticides. So that's a good thing. I mean, it works good for your other animals, so far as ticks and things like that. Hey, we got another caller. Let's see who this is. This might be a record day here. Hello, caller. This is Average Joe.
Hello, this is Above Average Joe.
Hey, Above Average Joe. I'm glad to hear from you. Long distance
call.
Hey,
babe. A long distance call. Yeah, from the other room.
That's right. What you got for us there, darling?
Well, I'm sure I've shared this with you in the past, but in my lifetime, you know, I spent a year in a little fishing shack with our two oldest daughters and their father. We lived in Nova Scotia for about a year, and we had no running water, and we did have electricity, so we were... You know, we were good at that end. We used to have a bucket that we collected rainwater in, and we had a Kemak stove, which is a, you know, an old wood-burning stove that had oil. That is what we used to even heat the little shack that we lived in.
Yeah.
You know, we would fish, and you know, eat. We ate lots of fish and lobster and crabs, and you know, it was an adventure. Oh, we were suffering. Yes.
At least you had good food, right?
Yes, we did. And the girls loved to go with their dad. They would get in a little punt boat and go across the little inlet there and get out of the punt boat and go digging for clams and oysters and mussels and stuff like that. And, you know, we'd come home and have a feast on that. But, you know, I had to heat my water for the girls to have baths and for myself as well. We
right.
had to have the stove going through the winter time to, you know, to heat the little shack. And we lived basically, we couldn't grow anything on the property because we lived in a fishing shack right on the ocean floor. And, you know, it was all rocks.
My next question was that, you know, if you were able to grow anything there. I didn't remember you ever saying anything about that, but. So with the fish and the lobster and the crab and all that stuff, was there any cost to that? Were you able to do that for free and you just had to have bait or whatever? I mean,
for the most part, yes. There was a fisherman that had his boat. He would keep it at our pier, and I would go out fishing with him some days and help. You know, I would be out there fishing while they were bringing in their lobster traps and you know, whatever fish I caught, of course, was for my family, and whatever lobsters they got, you know, a lot of the times he would, you know, give me a lobster for me and the girls, or, you know, depending on, you know, it was his living, so,
yeah.
You know, depending on how many he got that day, you know,
That's great.
He'd bring in his fishing nets, yeah, so, you know, it was quite an adventure. We would take cod after we caught cod, and we would split it and clean it, take the head off of it, and, you know, gut it, open it up like a butterfly, and leave it in salt for a while. And then we would hang it up on the clothesline until it dried so we could get some dried salt cod for the wintertime. Because we, you know, we had refrigeration because we did have electricity, but, you know, there's always a, you know, girls like to have salt cod. We'd go out there and catch them pulling it off the line, you know, taking the meat
mm-hmm.
off of it and sitting there eating the cod out in the backyard. So
well,
it was quite an adventure, and girls enjoyed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a whole different perspective of homesteading, you know, compared to what, you know, I grew up with in a more farm-like atmosphere, you know, being in the South, out in the rural area. And that was one
mm-hmm.
thing I was going to talk about. It looks like we're going to probably run out of time, but was food preservation, you know, because you guys were drying the fish and stuff or salting it and drying it. And that was one thing I was going to talk about was, you know, how to preserve your food, because you got to have, you're either going to can it, you're going to freeze it if you have electricity, or you're going to dry it. I don't know of much any other ways to do it. I mean, you salt it, but it's still essentially you're going to dry it.
Right.
But anyway, anything else there, darling?
No, baby, that's it. I just wanted to make sure that you remember that little story.
Yeah. Well, I would never forget it. But I'm glad you called in about that, though, because that's a totally whole different perspective on homesteading. So thank you for that.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you in a little bit then.
All right, baby. I love you. Bye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that was great to hear from Above Average Joe there. So, yeah, as I was mentioning, we got just a few more seconds here about preserving your food. So, you know, the vegetables and even meat you can can. And you can also, but you can dry, like, meats, like she was talking about. You can dry fruit. You can dry vegetables. I mean, you can dry about anything, especially with the modern hydrators that people have. But, you know, my grandmother always just dried the apples in the sunlight on a sheet. But we're about out of time here, so thanks, everybody, for listening in, and we'll see you next time.